The buzzer has sounded, and the trades must be into NHL headquarters, but we're still going to be hearing them throughout the next at least 45 minutes to an hour, I would suspect, here on TSN 1290, trade deadline day. Rick Ralph joining us back in studio, which means only one thing.
NHL trade deadline 2012. This is the Tim Hortons Trade Desk on TSN 1290.
And the deadline has now passed, you could say, so it's just a matter of waiting for the deals to come in. It looks like Buffalo has sent Paul Gostad to Nashville. What's coming back in return? We await. And Brian Rolston and Mike Motto go to Boston, and awaiting word on what's coming back to the New York Islanders in that deal. But a couple of deals now just trickling in, and that will continue as seven deals were made or announced after the deadline last year.
NHL Trade Deadline 2012. We return to Tim Hortons Trade Desk in 30 minutes and breaking trade news as it happens. Brought to you in part by Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC.
Welcome back to the program. Almost as important is that it's coming up on the screen right now and being reported on Twitter. Rick Nash is not going to be dealt today. Rick Nash remains a Columbus Blue Jacket. At least until the NHL draft, that would be the next opportunity to see Rick Nash dealt. Speaking of trades, Johnny Oduya was traded from the Winnipeg Jets earlier today off to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for a second and third round pick in 2013. Johnny Oduya spoke with TSN earlier this afternoon. Let's hear that audio.
Crowd's been unbelievable. Fans are really great. Anytime you battle with your teammates for a whole year, you're a little bit sad to leave them, yeah.
Have you had a chance to talk to Stan Bowman or Joel Quenneville about what the Blackhawks might be doing with you? We know they had that need there, and this can't be a complete shock because it had been discussed that you might be the fit for that hole on the Chicago D.
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to anybody yet. It's been pretty quick. You guys were the quickest one to call, I think. Hopefully when you get brought somewhere, they see that you can do some good for the team, and that's really what I want to come in and do. And, Chicago's is a great place to be, and for me, I think it's just really fun, yeah.
Yeah, you've been around a little bit in the National Hockey League. I'm trying to count organizations here. This would be number five, Chicago. Is that correct? Five?
Four, right?
Let's see. Jersey. I guess Jersey, Atlanta, Winnipeg counts as one, right? Drafted by the Capitals. But does it get, I guess, no matter how long you've been around in the league and how many different teams you've gone to, being traded is still something that's an impact emotionally?
Live and breathe and eat and do whatever with a group of guys, and then it changes very, very quick. But you see opportunity where you go to, because like I said, it's very tough to explain, but you're excited and a little bit let down at the same time, but looking forward, I think as I go down there and get to know some of the guys and put on that jersey, I think things are going to change. Yeah.
Were you with your teammates when you found out? Did you get a chance to say your goodbyes?
No, I haven't seen anybody yet. I guess there'll be a couple of phone calls maybe this afternoon, and it's a good thing for everybody, I think. Obviously, like I said, hopefully some of the guys would be sad to see me go, but you never know.
I'm sure they will. Listen, Johnny, thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
Johnny Oduya speaking with James Duthie of TSN earlier today. Johnny Oduya traded to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for a second and third round pick. Jets also acquired Grant Klitsam off of waivers from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Grant is going to join us in about 25 minutes time at the bottom of the hour. Grant Klitsam will be joining us here on TSN 1290. Talk about his new team here in Winnipeg. Lots of activities. Trades are still trickling in. We expect them to trickle in for the next, at least half an hour as the trade calls get made at NHL headquarters. Going to Boston, as we mentioned, Mike Motto going from the New Jersey Devils. Depth player, really more so than anything.
Yeah, left-handed shooting puck moving defenseman.
Yeah. And Brian Rolston, Brian Rolston's got to be 150 years old at this point.
I wonder about Boston, the kid who got hit the other night by Neil.
Oh, Boychuk.
Boychuk. I wonder if he didn't come back. So it would be, I wonder if maybe any team wants for looking for depth, but I wonder if that had any effect to it.
Michael Remus sending over, apparently Boychuk has a concussion. So that that could explain.
And Boychuk's turned in, you know, we were talking before, Boychuk's improved his skating and has become a nice, really nice defenseman.
He was good for them in the final.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And watching him here, and his, you know, the knock on him earlier was a little bit slower in skating, but he was, you know, stride by stride with Vander Kane and a couple of those rushes.
Yeah, tough kid too.
Yeah,
Calgary.
That, that hit was. I mean, Neil didn't jump, but that was mammoth.
Yeah. Calgary re-signs Tim Jackman to a 2-year contract extension for $612,000 per season. It's the NHL minimum.
Just about the minimum.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? Kid will fight anybody. Big kid, and actually. You hear teams talk about getting a big body guy that can skate and can forecheck and do those things. He's reliable.
Yep. And you saw the game on Saturday with Giordano was going at it with Hartnell. Jackman was the one who came in there before Giordano and Hartnell fought, kind of gave him a little word. So willing to stick up for his teammates, stuff like that.
A lot of those still trickling in rumors of teams that have deals just waiting for the trade call to be completed. Lots of teams saying they're done for the day. So you should hear at least another, in the next 20 minutes, some more deals will trickle in. When Rick Ralph comes into the studio, you know what that means. That means there's a deal underway. So we'll be here, hopefully.
Hearing you're taking this.
I'm sorry?
You're taking a seat to the side, Drew. Pushing you out of the way.
You're pushing you're getting
trading,
rid of me?
We're trading you for Rick and a second round donut.
Well, that's it. That's well worth it. I mean, that's well worth it. There's no doubt about that. Lots of sort of still a quiet day by the sounds of it. None of the big deals went.
The Gostad.
Gostad is a... Well, let's talk about Gostad to Nashville. You said when they made the Kostitsyn deal earlier this morning that you thought they had one more deal in play for a forward. By Paul Gostad, you know, as your other deal for a forward, is not a bad acquisition for the Nashville Predators.
I think it's a great deal. I think that I saw an awful lot of Nashville in our own division. They're a tough team to play against. This adds size. This adds another guy that we talked about. And this again, now they just got bigger. You know, they just got, you know, they're big up back end, big defense. They've got, you know, when you put two Fisher, you know, they've got some people that can really, you know, play. They're hard to play against. And Paul Gostad, I think that's a heck of a move by them. I think that you're seeing Nashville saying, hey, we're not sure about Suter and Weber, and we're going to try to make a shot or make a run at this right now. They've got Pekka-Rinne, who to me is in the top two or three goaltenders in the league.
I agree. I mean, you're adding a guy who can win faceoffs too, and so you're going to be nice down the middle there. Kill penalties, responsible defensively, support teammates in terms of the structure of the game, and obviously you can do everything. I mean, you're adding depth now, and there's not a lot of holes. I mean, not high-scoring team, but there's not a lot of holes in that roster. It's going to be hard to score any goals against them. And you mentioned Rinne. Yeah, I mean, it could be the Vezina winner. I like what Nashville's doing. I like the aggressiveness here. Some of the other teams are sitting back and waiting and trying. I think they've done really well. I mean, you're adding in Hal Gill. You're adding in Kostitsyn. You're adding in Gostad. That's nice. I think David Poile and Fenton have identified their weaknesses and have addressed them.
Well, if you have to use one word to describe the moves that have been made so far today, I would say logical would be that word. I mean, you go through most of the deals by all the teams, both trading and acquiring, and they say, yes, this makes good logical sense. It fits in with what we're trying to do. You know, this is where we needed a depth player. This is where we needed, you know, to get a little bit stronger, whatever it is. Everything's logical. Nothing is really earth-shattering. But, you know, the Nashville moves. I mean, Nashville's been the big player today, Gostad and Kostitsyn. Yeah. You know, are they a Western Conference contender?
Oh, without a doubt. They were before.
Simply by having Rinne, Weber, and Suter.
If you're a coach in the Western Conference, and if you've seen Nashville and played against them, you match them up against Vancouver and San Jose, yes, you would say they're right there. Them, St. Louis. I forgot about St. Louis. Those teams are all tough teams.
Love. There's a move here which I love.
Yeah, another. You're a big fan of his, and we expect Rick Ralph will join us momentarily to talk about that one.
I got razzed for being a big fan of his when Nashville let him go to Minnesota.
That's a great trade.
We got Rick coming in here for that one because you were talking about the need on Boston, and obviously with the injury to Boychuk, and then you talk about the need on Boston. Boston would be that's a defender. They're adding the rumor is. Drew, you can touch on the rumor.
The rumor, and we'll hear confirmation from Rick Ralph coming momentarily, hopefully. Greg Zanin from Minnesota going to the Boston Bruins. No word yet on what's going back to Minnesota, but the rumor is Greg Zanin from Minnesota to Boston.
Now he's a pending UFA, just to note that, but a really solid stay-at-home guy. willing to block shots, throw his body around. Underrated. One of those guys who does all those little things and nobody talks about him.
He's a Bruin.
That's right.
He fits in with the with the mentality and everything else there. Yeah, exactly. Some guys you can say they belong to a certain team. Like the Flyers have some of those guys who just belong to, you know, if they're a Philadelphia-type player. That would be, you know, that's Greg Zanin
and, you know,
as
thing
a Boston
about,
Bruin.
The thing about Zanin, Drew, is, you know, mention him as UFA, unless they were going to resign him, which I thought they'd probably give a lot of thought to. It's interesting. They're getting rid of both of their kind of stay-at-home guys, Zanin and Schultz. But I'm sure they got a pretty good haul for him because even though he's a pending UFA, I mean, he does, yeah, he's a Bruin type, as Scott said, and he's going to be a nice addition for that squad.
And here's the man himself, Rick Nash.
Rick Nash.
Rick Ralph. You know what? I've been avoiding saying that all day, but it's been on the tip of my tongue a couple of times. Rick Ralph coming in to break the details of
that trade. Rick Nash.
NHL Trade Deadline 2012. This is the Tim Hortons Trade Desk on TSN 1290.
Well, it stands at 11 trades so far, and we're expecting a couple of more to trickle in. New York Rangers may have made a minor move for a defenseman. We're waiting to hear on that. And Boston did make another move. They get Greg Zanin, the shot blocker out of Minnesota. What goes back in return, we have not confirmed as of yet. Still reports of Buffalo sending Paul Gostad to Nashville. Don't know yet what Buffalo's getting back in return. The question is, they were looking for a first-round draft pick in return. Did they get it? We'll find that out. Brian Rolson, who was on waivers earlier, is sent by the Islanders, along with Mike Motto, to Boston for future considerations there. Johnny Oduya, as mentioned, goes to Chicago for a second- and third-round pick in 2013. Columbus' Sammy Paulson goes to Vancouver for 2 fourth-round picks this year. Brian Lee from Ottawa to Tampa Bay for Matt Gilroy. He becomes the unrestricted free agent, but likely Tampa Bay has plans for him after this year, after losing Pavel Kabina through a trade. Jamie McGinn, Mike Connolly, and Michael Scarbosa go from San Jose to Colorado for Daniel Winnick, TJ Gilardi, and a seventh-round draft pick. Toronto sent Keith Ollie, the defenseman, to Tampa Bay for Carter Ashton. Nick Schultz from Minnesota to Edmonton for Tom Gilbert. Mike Commodore goes from Detroit to Tampa Bay for a conditional seventh-round pick in 2013. And Andre Kostitsyn from Montreal to Nashville for a second-round pick in 2013 and a conditional fifth-round draft pick.
Breaking trade news as it happens. Brought to you in part by Santa Lucia Pizza.
Some more trades still to come. We'll get to those after these commercial messages. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show special trade deadline edition live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. Scott Arneal's here with us as well. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, the newest Winnipeg Jet, Grant Klitsam, is going to join us. He's going to give us a call. We'll talk to Grant about what it's like joining the Winnipeg Jets and the playoff race. Last few deals seem to be trickling in. We mentioned that Boston gets... my brain's gone blank. Yeah, same. Greg Zanin, yeah. Boston gets Greg Zanin in exchange for Steve Kampfer going to Minnesota. A couple more deals, I think, still just in the queue at NHL headquarters that we'll bring to you just as soon as we get word of them. Still don't know what's going back to Nashville. Going back to Buffalo in exchange for... Paul Gostad. That'll be the interesting one to hear if Nashville does part with that first round pick. That's what we heard that Buffalo was asking for Gostad, which is a high price to pay for a rental player.
It is a high price to play, Drew. But you know, when's that time you're going to make that hard play? And we talked about before, you give Poile and Fenton the security to be able to do that and not worry you're going to lose their job because they're taking a risk.
And here is the confirmation. It is a first rounder. The Sabres sent a fourth round pick and Paul Gostad to Nashville in exchange for the first rounder.
Like the deal.
Yeah, still makes sense. I mean, look, Nashville. If Nashville's got to go for it this year, do you think they can re-sign both Suter and Weber?
I don't think so.
So I mean, this is the year you got to go for it.
I think that they'll keep Weber, and I think that Suter's going to probably try the free agents market.
Yeah, Darren Drake.
Sorry.
A lot of suitors, too.
There you go. You're going to get your natural for this business with that pun.
I've been listening to you guys all day. Like
that, so. Darren Dreger reporting the Jets are done. So the Jets have made their move. They got Klitsam. They traded Oduya. Really, as a Jets fan, arguably you could see some more players that could have been on their way out, but I think you can't really be too upset about what the Jets have done today.
Yeah, you got to be happy with Oduya. Getting a second and third for Oduya coming into the day, you got to be happy with that, and that's a great return.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right.
We just saw the other trade. We don't know. We broke that one. Drew, I think, did Rick break that one, the John Scott?
No, Rick has not come in and broke that one, so he'll be back.
He just did.
Yeah. John Scott, who we spoke about earlier as Johnny Oduya being an upgrade on John Scott for the Chicago Blackhawks. John Scott is going to be on his way out of Chicago, on his way to the New York Rangers, a depth defenseman for them.
You know, Drew, I mean, I know they have depth in the way of guys like Steve Eminger and things like that. If they're relying on John Scott and that... You know, in a playoff, I know they tried to suit him up against Vancouver last year, Chicago, but the Rangers relying on John Scott at all is a 6-D-man or anything else is going to be a long night for Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the problem. I mean, is this going to cost the Rangers a shot at the Cup Finals?
Well, you know what? When you get to like the nitty-gritty, literally at the end of the conference finals, for example, if they make it there to a game, team like Boston...
If Boston gets healthy and Boston gets Horton back and they get Peverly back.
Yeah, Boston's running those three lines out there, then you do need a 5-6 guy that'll, and maybe if you do have an injury or two, and they are young and Del Zotto's not great defensively, it could be.
You see, actually, John Tortorella's quote, I think it was yesterday or whatever, he actually said that he doesn't think they're good enough to win it the whole thing, but it's part of the process that we're trying to get to.
True.
And if it happens that they get to that area, then obviously they're going to be more confident. They weren't going to blow everything up.
Yeah.
Because they thought this was the year. He said in Tampa, they knew when they had that team, and they went for it, and they made all the moves that they did. They don't think that they're there right now, and they feel that they may still be a year away from that. So it's good management there.
Yeah, and isn't such a good young defense there, right? You got Del Zotto, McDonough, Girardi, and Staal. I mean, all under 30, really, considerably under 30, some of them, and really good young players. So, yeah, good young base on the back end.
And the young core up front.
Yeah. Callahan, you got to love Callahan. I mean, Dubinsky's had a tough year, but still a good player.
The Rangers, if they didn't blow up your entire organization to get Rick Nash, I don't think anybody's going to be criticizing them for that. The future is very bright in New York, and they know better than anyone. And now John Tortorella might be downplaying expectations. I suspect that that's what he's doing. But, they know better than anyone if they're really there and really ready to make that run as a Stanley Cup contender or champion.
And I think that, they will be in the running this summer for Rick Nash.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I never quite understood. I mean, why trade Nash now as opposed to the summer where there'll be more suitors with more flexibility?
Well, because you sometimes prey on the other team's desperation. The team wants to make a big run, and they say, he's the guy who can help us make a big run.
And that's like we talked about earlier, it's a limited number of teams. Everybody's talking about 5 or 6 teams, and it sounds like all those teams are in the East, and all those teams in the East don't want to make changes to screw up their chances right now. So they all know that they're going to be in play come summertime. So it'll just start over again. I'm sure that once the season ends, July 1st begins. I mean, it'll be speculation and going forward from there.
Yeah, once you hear that, and then the next big trading time is the NHL draft. We saw it at the draft in Minnesota this past year. I mean, who went? Brent Burns went at the draft, right?
Yep, Carter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you see these guys start moving at the draft, and, everybody... deadline day is a great day, but it's also the day where, at this point in time, this is definitely the benchmark. From here on out, it's the playoffs and it's the cup, and that's exactly what we're looking at straight ahead.
But look at the teams in the East. Boston needed a defenseman; they addressed the need for a defenseman. New Jersey needed a puck moving defenseman; they acquired Zdlicky. Philly needed some security on the back end; they acquired. So it didn't necessarily need to be today to address your needs.
No, certainly the last couple of weeks, it makes more sense to acquire a guy if you can get. Look, if you know what you need and you know what you need 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, then it makes more sense to go get that guy then than to wait for today. I mean, we prefer that they wait for today because we're on air the whole time, but they're not that interested in accommodating our needs. The trade deadline day is a great day for teams that are maybe become more desperate than you necessarily. Boston may not go out and get a couple defensemen if Boychuk doesn't get this concussion. The trade deadline's a good day for teams that might be a little bit banged up or Antti Miettinen, when he cleared waivers for the Winnipeg Jets, he clears waivers in case a team calls them up, has something happen Saturday or Sunday, and says to the Jets, hey, we need somebody like him. So now the Jets don't have to put him through waivers.
Right.
He's already gone through waivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally, I'm not unhappy that Antti Miettinen doesn't stay with the Jets. I thought anytime he's been in the lineup for the Jets, he hasn't been doing it on the scoreboard necessarily, but he's responsible. He's better than Eric Fair.
Well, that's the thing. He's been better than Eric Fair, so it's an upgrade on that.
Yeah.
It certainly hasn't been his finest moment. He doesn't have a great shot. He's not a great offensive player, but he's been better than Fair, and you can you know, you don't feel bad playing him in the fourth line right wing role. He can jump up if need be, and you'll use him. And if there's really nothing on the wire for, I mean, nothing for him, then you're fine with keeping him. He doesn't have a huge contract. I think it's 1.5 a year.
That's
for
just
this year,
I mean,
next year.
You got these guys who, you know, they have Miettinen for, you know, $1.5 million, which is nothing really in this NHL. You got Klitsam for $1.2 million or whatever it is on 1 year deals. When they're short one year, 2 year deals for million, $2 million, yeah. Not big money. Well, there's no harm really.
I'm surprised Brett Clark didn't move out of Tampa. Only because I thought there'd be a market for it, unless they're going to re-sign him, but a market for a guy.
I think they like him.
Yeah.
I think they like him. He really played well for them last year. And,
oh, I agree.
Yeah, I think he's still in their plan.
I think they re-sign him, yeah. Okay, because, I mean, we were talking about that. If they don't re-sign him, which I think he'd be a nice value pickup for somebody if they were not going to re-sign him. But that, first and foremost, you look at their defense here on Thursday.
Yeah.
They want to re-sign him, and he can move around. He can do a lot of things.
Yaroslav Spachek doesn't move. That's a puzzler for us that we thought,
weird.
You know, a UFA in Carolina that we thought the you know, Hurricanes got him for Cabrera from Montreal.
Well, that's already a winning.
Yeah, I mean, that in itself was a good trade. So surprised that it didn't happen, but you never know.
That may have to do with dollars, you know, like.
Oh, the minimum.
Yeah,
that could be a floor thing. That's true. Never thought about that. Grant Klitsam is going to be coming up in a couple minutes here on TSN 1290. Kevin Cheveldayoff will speak with the media at 3:30. You'll hear it live here on TSN 1290. Much more to come. You're listening to a special edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Shortly past 2:30 in the afternoon, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Trade Deadline Special. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. And we're thrilled to welcome to the program the newest Winnipeg Jet, Grant Klitsam. Grant, good afternoon. Welcome to TSN 1290.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing very well, Grant. Thanks very much. First and foremost, your immediate thoughts upon being informed that the Jets had claimed you off waivers?
Thrilled. You know, I'm really excited. I had no idea what was going to happen. It was my first experience being put on waivers. And, you know, I guess you guys are familiar with the way it works, but you don't really know what's going to happen until 12 o'clock. And when I found out it was the Jets, I was thrilled. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get there.
How, Grant, what have you heard about Winnipeg, first and foremost?
I heard I should get some warm clothing. That's been the biggest piece of advice so far. I've played there a couple times. We played there in the preseason this year, and I played against the Manitoba Moose a few times, too, when I was with Syracuse. So I've been there a few times, and, you know, the fans, I couldn't believe in that exhibition game this year. It was the first game that Winnipeg played being back in the league, and, you know, the fans were just phenomenal. It was so loud in that building, and it was a pretty cool atmosphere, and it was only the preseason, so I can't even imagine what a regular season game must be like.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. What have you you've played for Claude Noel in your past, correct?
Pardon me?
You've played for Claude Noel before, right?
Yes, I did. I played for him my first call-up to the NHL 2 years ago when he was with Columbus.
So does that ease the transition a bit because you're coming under a coach who you've already played for and you kind of know what to expect?
I hope so, yeah. I feel comfortable with Claude, and I think he's a great coach, and he's done a fantastic job this year, and looking forward to be back there working with him.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Grant Klitsam, the newest Winnipeg Jet. He was acquired off waivers today from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Grant, first of all, the Jets are in action tonight at MTS Center against the Edmonton Oilers. Are you going to make it to Winnipeg by that point, or are you looking for Thursday's game?
I'm flying out tomorrow morning, so I'll get into Winnipeg tomorrow, and I'll be watching the game tonight for sure. Are
you familiar with any of the guys on the roster?
I mean, I know who they have on the roster. I'm not really familiar with any of the players in particular, no.
In terms of, you know, coming into to Winnipeg, and what about the fact that you're coming into the heat of a playoff race, Grant?
It's exciting. Playoff hockey is so fun to be a part of, and I haven't really had the opportunity in my professional career to be a part of that. When I first came up from college with Syracuse in the American League, I played my first professional game against Manitoba in a playoff game, but that's really been my only professional playoff experience. So to kind of be a part of that playoff push is really exciting.
What can fans expect from you in terms of your style of play and how you play the game?
I try and work hard and be physical. I try and make sure I'm getting my shots through the net. And, I want to try and be a part of the game offensively, but also be reliable defensively.
In speaking with Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff today, I assume you spoke to him, first of all. And second of all, did he give you sort of any impression as what the team hopes for you to bring to the table on a nightly basis?
We did touch base real briefly, basically just welcoming me to the organization and telling me he was excited to have me aboard. But we didn't really have a chance to get into details like that. It was more of a just of a welcome to the team conversation, which was great.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by the newest Winnipeg Jet, Grant Klitsam. Grant, you know, you time in Columbus, sort of, were you, I know it's always hard to say that you're prepared for it to come to an end, but are you, was it time for you to move on to further the development of your professional career?
You know what, I think, I mean, I'm really excited about the opportunity I have here with Winnipeg. Obviously, this year in Columbus was difficult for both myself and the team. I think we didn't meet expectations we had for ourselves to be in the season, and, you know, we had some turnover with our coaching staff, and obviously underachieved greatly this year. So it's been a tough season, and I'm looking forward to starting fresh in a new organization.
Grant Klitsam, the newest Winnipeg Jet. We'll see you Thursday night against the Florida Panthers. Travel safe, and welcome to Winnipeg.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care, Grant. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Grant.
Grant Klitsam, the newest Winnipeg Jet, acquired off of waivers earlier today. Rick Ralph joins us back in studio. I think we got some big news. Do we want to get to that?
Great news as it happens. Brought to you in part by Old Dutch Foods.
Well, this one's a little confusing, and it will be from the Vancouver side of things, but Vancouver sending Cody Hodgson to Buffalo for Zach Cassian. That is the latest deal. I'm working to confirm, but Steve Staios may also be on the move to Vancouver for a draft pick. We'll have to verify that one, but Cassian goes from Buffalo to Vancouver for Cody Hodgson.
Well, let's talk about this move. Cody Hodgson was the heir apparent in Vancouver for a lot of years, as we bring Scott O'Neill back into the conversation.
I'm pretty sure Scott's coached over a quarter of the players traded today.
This is very convenient. Scott O'Neill is in studio with us.
Good thing or a bad thing.
Scott O'Neill in studio with us here on TSN 1290. That's Richard Pollock. I'm Drew Mindell. Cody Hodgson for Zach Cassian. Let's defense for a centerman. Let's talk about that deal.
Forward for forward. Cody played here for Scott with Musso. I'll defer to him first.
Yeah, you know what? I know that Vancouver, I know what they're thinking is they were probably in the sweepstakes for Ott. Zach Cassian gives him some stiffness. He's a right winger, tough kid. You know, he's got some skill. You know what? He's a kid that, you know, that has played some games up with Buffalo because of all the injuries and being a first year pro, has handled himself very well. So, that has a lot to play into why that's happening. I think with Cody, especially getting Sammy Paulson, it doesn't. Cody's a true centerman. It probably he doesn't do great on the wing, but I think this looks as it now. You know, with Buffalo losing Gostad, it kind of fills holes for both teams. It allows you know, Vancouver to kind of move some people out of the middle there.
You surprised Vancouver gave up on Hodgson so quickly?
A little bit, but I mean, I guess you're kind of portraying prospect for prospect. Your casting's a little bit wild. You know, in his persona per se, but at the same time, in terms of Hodgson, when you saw him with the Moose, you need to put a little bit more meat on his body. He came right out of junior, and then I think improved his skating a bit. Moves over to Buffalo. He's going to have an opportunity there. Scott just mentioned replacing O'Neill. A little bit surprised that the Canucks made the deal, centerman for wing two, but at the same time, you know, up the middle, they're secure with Sedin and Kessler for the foreseeable future, and they can always find a guy who can replace Paulson after the fact, but you know they wanted to. They ever saw Hodgson maybe making he's going to make a crack in the top six. It was going to be as a winger, and he's better at center. So you try and find a piece that can fit into your puzzle a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know what? He's having a good year this year.
Yeah.
He's playing, really starting to show that he can play. And you know what? Maybe you know, I think Vancouver's sort of a wide open offensive sort of. We've often, you know, people have talked about Vancouver's a good skating team. Cody's not a great skater.
Right.
Not the same. Buffalo isn't, but Buffalo's a different-looking team, and they play a different way. And I think Cody, if he can take that maturity that he's shown this year and move it into Buffalo for the for his future, that should really start to really help him to become a good pro. And he's got a ways to go still, but there's an awful lot of talent there. He was the best player in Canadian junior hockey there for a couple of years.
And then when they picked him, they were ecstatic.
Yeah, that he fell that far.
Yeah.
40 minutes after the trade deadline, this is probably the biggest trade of the... Oh, hang on. Also, Marc-Andre Gragnani. I hate that name. I always have trouble with that one. To Vancouver for Alex Sulzer.
OK. Okay.
So
I like that one just because you get.
Now they get Steos and Greg Nanny. There's some depth right there.
So you have your defensive guy and Steos and your offensive guy and Greg Nanny. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Marc-Andre Bergeron, the way he gets used.
Yeah, he can be a left winger. He can.
That's
we had, I had him just briefly when I was in Buffalo, but I also had him at the World Championships last year. And this kid's a power play quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a little bit. He's like Erhoff, where he has that that's high praise, that skill and that ability. But he's kind of sometimes reckless when it comes to that offense. But he's a kid that he's 90-10, when 90% offense, 10% defense. So you know what? But for Vancouver, it depends who they're playing in a series.
That's right.
You know, they need Steos' stiffness, his veteran leadership. They put him in. If they need some offense, they go with Greg Nanny. So, again, I think Vancouver in the last, what has it been, half an hour here, they've done some real good things.
Half an hour after, you know, all after 2 o'clock, so they get these trades in before. You knew they weren't going to stand pat with their defense. They just couldn't do it. I mean, that was their downfall last year, even the year before, just the injuries and such. You had security and you have options now, and then you add a little bit more grit to the wing. I mean, Mike Gilson knows what he's doing there, and they've really, again, they've addressed needs, and they weren't going to go into the playoffs, you know, with the possibility of Sal getting hurt and elevating guys into different roles.
And I think knowing Vancouver and working in that organization, I think that they had a wish list that probably started, a month ago, but if it started today, that list was gradually getting peeled away, and not saying that they got stuck with these players, but at the end of the day, they wanted Ott. They got Cassian. It was still every place that they may have wanted some other defenseman or two, and they ended up getting these two guys in Steos and Greg Nanny. It doesn't mean they didn't do well, but they've got depth, and that's the most important thing. They did go out and fill some of the holes that needed to be filled.
I mean, Zach Cassian, like Cody Hodgson, the guy who's under team control for a number of years. Yeah. I mean, he's an RFA. He's not an RFA yet until 2014, 2015. Yeah. So a guy they keep under control. Greg Nanny, an RFA after this season.
Scott, a little bit surprised they dealt with him. I know he's expendable now that you sign Erhoff to the long-term deal. So, left-handed.
Greg Nanny.
Yeah. You sign Erhoff to the long-term deal.
Buffalo does.
Offensive defenseman. And Greg Nanny excelled finally in Rochester in terms of offensively. I guess it was a skill that they already had on the roster.
I think what's happened for Buffalo is that they've had so many injuries this year where they had up to 13 guys in the lineup. They got to see some of their depth. They had kids up there on their back end that they feel will play a bigger role than maybe what Greg Nanny will. They still have some people in Erhoff, Sequeira, they get Regeer. They've got a pretty good back end, and I think that they just look at it that, hey, we're a year away from so-and-so from Rochester coming up here playing for us.
What about Alex Sulzer? What does he bring to the Buffalo back end?
He's a seven guy. I mean, he's in Nashville. He can move around a bit, but he's not a guy. He's not proficient of a puck mover.
No, he's he's a steady defenseman. Yeah. He's going to he can log you 15 minutes a game, and whether he's in another lineup, how much he plays, they got their first pick, but they get a player to go with it. That's probably the deal they're after. I'm sure that was the asking price all along for Paul Gostad. So,
sure.
They got it. They got the pick, and they got a player. They get somebody that can throw in the lineup right now.
Again, logical moves. I mean, logical moves. Well-run teams make logical moves. I mean, Buffalo held out right to the end. They got a first-round pick for a guy who they probably weren't going to re-sign.
Yeah.
In Paul Gostad. Vancouver gets tougher, which they needed to after, I mean, we saw what Boston did to them with just abusing them last year. They get tougher. Probably can't do that anymore to them without having some repercussions. Just logical moves, and the best teams, I think, got better is what happened today. It's the top teams separated themselves from that sort of middle, that second level in the, each respective conference. Most of the moves Boston make, you got to think that they are probably a better team today than they were at the beginning of the day.
And I think that's where you see the different mentalities of GMs.
Yeah.
Those that are trying to win rounds in the playoffs or the Stanley Cup, and those that are trying to get in. And those that are looking at next year,
which would explain why there weren't as many deals, because those who are trying to get in just don't want to. They don't want to mortgage the future anymore.
Exactly.
They don't want to make any of those deals.
Look at the horses. San Jose adds part of what they need.
Yeah.
Detroit adds what part of what they need on security and defense. Vancouver adds a lot of what they need. Chicago adds a defenseman what they need. Those are the big four.
And Boston.
Boston. And you got Boston in the East. They're adding exactly what they needed with Greg Zannon. They're hoping they have Peverly and then Horton back.
Philly did it last week. Yeah.
And Pittsburgh, I mean, you get Crosby back. That's the ultimate trade line deadline acquisition. Devils with Zajac.
Yeah.
Similar kind of thing. And then, I mean, the Rangers didn't want to bite on anything too big.
That's right. So, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint any real losers into the trade deadline day today.
We always talk about the Jets' perspective. The Jets get to a second and third for Oduya, but if you're talking about winning or losing, don't they kind of win by the Leafs and Washington adding anybody?
Certainly, and I think they win by adding by getting Klitsam as well. Yeah. Florida. I mean, Florida made their moves yesterday and the day before getting Wolski and getting... you can argue whether or not it's an addition getting Wolski, but, I mean, they got Wolski, they didn't give up much there. But smart moves all around. I think Jets fans have to be reasonably pleased. We'll hear from Kevin Cheveldayoff coming up at 3:30. You're listening to Trade Deadline Coverage with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Trade Deadline Special Edition. I'm joined in studio by my usual colleague, Richard Pollack. And with all due respect and apologies to our usual colleague, Ezra Ginsberg, he's officially been replaced. Scott O'Neill, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show team.
I got traded, you're saying?
Yeah, you got traded, and you really don't have any option on it whatsoever. And Ezra's not here to object either, so we're fine with that. It's a good deal from our books as well.
Based on Twitter waivers.
Exactly. Anyways, welcome back to the program. This is probably it in terms of deals at this point in. Don't foresee anything coming in at this late hour, over 50 minutes past the deadline. You know, we were just talking about it before, about winners and losers today. I'd say more winners and not that many teams you can pinpoint as losers in today's trade deadline day.
I think a lot of times people want to have a winner and a loser. And some trades, many trades especially today, can have two winners.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have winner and loser in every trade.
I don't think you have what we saw last year with Ottawa that just absolutely unloaded everything.
Yeah.
And I think now you just saw teams that kind of just tinkered. Those that were maybe on the outside maybe just tinkered a little bit. But the big teams got better. And who they traded their partners with, well, like you said, their partners also did it okay as well.
Yeah. I mean, the two teams, they matched up, you know, with the market demand. They matched up the needs. And certain teams had what other teams wanted. And they gave them the draft picks, and I think it was they established the market, and everybody seemed to follow it. Nobody went, you know, wild with some kind of crazy offer. And obviously, there wasn't a blockbuster to necessarily to increase, you know, the pandemonium here and make it just a crazy trade deadline day. So that didn't also. And what happens with the big deals is not only does it maybe change the market sometimes, it forces some big, you know, for example, if Detroit makes some big move. Well, then maybe San Jose or Vancouver feel like they need to do the same. But everybody was pretty reasoned in what they needed to do.
You surprised the Washington Capitals didn't do anything today?
A little bit, but I think George McPhee is just saying, hey, let's see what we got with this squad. It's been a couple of years now.
Yeah, I think with George, he's made some major changes going into this year. They made some changes.
Troy Brower.
Everything, yeah. You know, they've done a lot of different things, and fired the coach. I think now he's leaving everything on the players now. Yeah. I think this is either theirs to make or break, and... they've had a tough go here, and it'll be real interesting. George is a guy that's been active. It's not like he sat back and sort of let things just kind of come upon him.
But once he sees Nicklas Backstrom going on long-term IR, is that his sign sort of that, you know, if we make the playoffs, it's a bonus at this point, but, you know, without him as a regular in our lineup, it's just there's no point in making a move to try and, quote-unquote, go for it?
I don't know if that player was out there to get... that replaces Nick Backstrom.
No, I'm saying exactly what I'm saying is, and so then players like without Backstrom in the lineup, is there even a point in getting the depth players if he's not going to be there?
Yeah, you know, one thing about them, they have depth in Hershey. Yeah. They've got some real good young players that are certainly capable of playing. So, are you better off to just give those guys an opportunity to play, or are you, do you go out there and try to fit something else in you're not 100% sure about? So they felt that, you know, maybe they couldn't find a partner, but I just think that at the end of the day they feel that if this team doesn't get them in, that nobody was really going to make a difference for them.
I think they made the coaching change.
Yeah.
They signed Joel Ward. They brought in Troy Brower. They brought in the rugged element to complement the skill element.
Brought in Vokoun.
I mean, they brought in Hamrlik, and obviously, you know, he's a slow skater, you know, period. And obviously now he's into it with Dale Hunter about
everything.
Mike Knuble's not getting in the lineup. So he's got the veterans, he's got the checkers, he's got the scores, he's got the... Just go, and if you don't do it already, then it's clearly the mix. I mean, the coach, many thought it was Bruce Boudreau, and now he's flourishing in Anaheim. The players are still giving the same lackluster effort. McPhee's going to, I think, make big changes if they don't do anything, but he might as well just ride it out.
Well, it sounds like it will be a summer of change in Washington. Wouldn't be surprised if there's another new head coach there. Again, we talked about how Dale Hunter's got that one-year deal, and that's it.
That might be mutual, by the way.
Which, no, it sounds like it was mutual.
It is.
Yeah.
It was a feeling-out process for Dale.
So it'll be. It's always an interesting summer in the NHL. It'll be especially interesting on the Capitals, where you have arguably the guy thought of as the number one superstar in the NHL, or at least as of maybe last year he was, and not so much this year, in Alex Ovechkin.
Well, it's amazing how 2-3 years ago, all you wanted to talk about was Ovechkin and Crosby. Now Crosby's got the concussion problems, and Ovechkin
regressed.
Regressed, and I mean, you watch him in person. And that's one of the things, the luxury now we have of watching him in person in Winnipeg, as personalities here and as fans, when he doesn't have the puck, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just stands there. You watch him in the defensive zone. He literally is standing still at the point, not covering, not trying to help down low, not caring about anything except for when the puck's on his stick or when there's a possibility of scoring. And that's a trickle-down effect in the lineup, I think.
Yeah, and you know the other thing, too, is that he's a guy that played very physical for a long, like his whole beginning of his career. And I wonder if it's starting to wear on him. Remember people talking about him a couple of years ago, saying, can this guy keep doing this? And I haven't seen him hit anybody. I mean, he used to be on every highlight reel running people over. He used to drive people nuts. Yep. He used to drive Pittsburgh franchise crazy just for the fact he used to steamroll people all the time. And he doesn't have that emotion in his game that we've all known to be. And now, like you said, where he's a perimeter player. And one thing you never said about Alex Ovechkin, that he's a perimeter player. Now he's become that. And, until he gets back to playing on the inside and playing with an edge, he's not the same player.
And Jim Matheson had a point in the Edmonton Journal yesterday. He has his notes column, and he goes over, talks to the scouts. He said, one of the scouts he talked to was shocked that Ryan Smith is able to perform even at the level he has, because he's taken such a pounding for so long in the middle of the ice. And he was talking about Brendan Morrow having the back problems, and you're already always engaging in contact.
It takes
wears
years
on
off
you
your
and
career.
Wears on you and wears on you. Yeah. I remember Wendell Clark, would he retire like 31?
Yeah.
Like Lindros with the concussions.
Well, when you play in the dirty areas, as it were, you get beat up and everything else. Pittsburgh, if you go through this document we had put together and we had spoken about earlier, we thought Pittsburgh would be a buyer, saying they need a physical defenseman, they need a checking center. Pittsburgh stands pat, doesn't do anything. Is it Crosby is your trade deadline acquisition, or is it just the way Malkin's playing? Malkin's the best player in hockey right now.
To me, what they've done, it got shown to them early, is they had so many injuries early in the year when Staal was out, Crosby was out. They had so many injuries, and they kept winning. They haven't changed. That's one team that has just Fleury has been outstanding, who we always forget about. But that's a team that has just has been no real ups and downs, no big drops and no big spikes. And they just feel hey, if all these kids are coming from Wilkes-Barre and are helping us, and we've got enough depth that let's keep things. They've made some big changes. The Goligoski for Neil trade was a gigantic one for them. And in the last year and a half, they've done some things that have made them a better hockey club. So. They must like their team.
And there's a lot to like. They want more from a guy like Paul Martin. But again, you're picking at certain things. They have a luxury there. I mean, you have no Crosby, but your first two centers are Malkin and Staal. Almost every team in the league would take that as their first two centers.
Yeah.
And so, and then up the wings now, you've added Neil, and then you have Kunitz, and you have guys. And they're such a good penalty-killing team. They do. Yeah. Bilesma really has got them doing the little things well. So their weaknesses, they're going to be a hard team to knock out without Crosby. Yeah. With Crosby, I picked them to win the Cup this year.
Sure.
Such a well-oiled machine. But without Crosby, they're not an easy out. They could beat any team in the East.
Yeah, well, the way Evgeny Malkin's playing, Evgeny Malkin has said to that team, come on my back and I'm going to carry you.
I love the mix on defense, too. I mean, you have your puck movers in Letang and Martin, and then you have Orpik, and you have Mihalik's underrated.
Yeah. And the big kid, Eglin, there, pretty good player, too,
One last final trade. I think Rick Ralph is actually on his way to MTS Center, so very minor. Canucks have acquired Andrew Gordon from the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for defenseman Sebastian Eriksson.
Ah, that's, Gordon's a good, solid role player, fourth line guy if something happens. I know that they've had a couple injuries with some of their fourth line guys, so that's depth right there for them.
And that's what you need. I mean, you see it each year in the playoffs that, if you can plug a guy in who isn't playing terribly out of over his head, then, you're in a better position.
And they seem to deal a lot, Vancouver and Anaheim.
I think the old Bobby Murray, that connection there. Yeah. I think it used to be a lot of it when Dave Nolas was still there, when Bobby Murray used to be his assistant GM for the Canucks. So there's familiarity. Again, there's a couple of guys that know each other.
You think about Detroit, Tampa, Winnipeg, Chicago, all this familiarity in the management.
It makes things a lot easier. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You trade with guys you're comfortable with. You trade with organizations you know.
And you've probably dealt with those prospects and some of those guys that, you know, you know what the team's looking for, too.
Exactly right. Let's go to break. When we come back, we have one final hour here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Trade deadline special. Much more still to come. You're listening to TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Shortly past 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're with you right up until 4 o'clock, where we turn things over to Hustler and Lawless. They're on until 6:30, then Rick Ralph in the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show. And 7:30 tonight, puck drop at MTS Center between the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers. Again, as we've said a couple times now, you forget it's a game day here, Birchwood Chevrolet Buick GMC game day on TSN 1290. You forget there's a game to be played tonight with all of the action going on this afternoon, NHL trade deadline day. My name is Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock, and Scott Arneal is our special guest today. He's been with us throughout the afternoon. Teams now, they have to change their focus. You know, this is the last big hurdle they have to go to before it's now playoffs or bust. And that's sort of, but I imagine what the mentality in the dressing room becomes for all these guys. They start looking at the schedule, the standings, the scoreboard, that sort of thing.
Well, for most of the coaches tonight, if they play tonight, everybody, you know, they really got to get their players' heads around what has happened or didn't happen today, because you have guys in your dressing room, probably five or six guys, some teams a lot more than that, thinking that they're on the block, ready to be traded. Some guys have played their best hockey in the last 2 weeks,
sure,
thinking that it might not happen. And, you know, so you've got disappointment, believe it or not. Some players are very disappointed that they haven't been dealt. There's other players that are relieved that they don't have to pack up and move. So they've probably been watching this all day. They haven't been thinking about the game tonight very much. So for the coaches, they've got to get these guys, when they show up at the rink at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, they got to get them start wired up thinking about the opposition tonight.
I'm surprised, to be honest, that the NHL continues to schedule games on the trade deadline day.
Well, I've always wondered about that.
Last year, if I recall correctly, it was either last year or 2 years ago, they moved it because there was only going to be one.
Because there's 12 games.
It was set for Monday, and the Monday had 12 games, and then they looked at the schedule, and I don't know how they overlook these things.
Except for Tuesday, I think they put it to Monday, didn't they?
One or the other. They moved it one day, yeah. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, we didn't realize there were going to be games that day. And, I mean, you know, it is a little bit of a bizarre scene. You could have some teams that are playing undermanned today. You know, because they've traded off, you know, two, three guys from the roster. Take the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, they traded three guys from their active roster today. They might be playing a little bit undermanned. It is a little bizarre, the scheduling, how they don't, make it a minimal number of teams in action today.
I mean, you're in the highlights today. I mean, it's secondary, right? Because everybody cares about the trades, and that you could do a whole show over the trades, which we're doing right now.
it's called the last 4 hours, Richard.
So that way you wonder why they have games, and if in the future they'll start, they will begin to make it a kind of a day off, a universal
day
off.
That's too logical. Why would they do that?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, that's our problem. We always keep thinking the trades today were logical. There's no one ever saying the NHL or decision-making was logical. Two very different things there. Some teams, they stand. Like, if you're Washington or Toronto today, two teams right outside the playoff race but right on the cusp, but both of whom have been floundering. I mean, the Caps have been floundering all year. The Leafs are 2-7-1 in their last 10. You know, is it a vote of confidence that the GM doesn't do a lot and says this is going to be the team that gets us going? Or is it just a sign that, well, the GM doesn't think that much of us, so he's not going to go out and acquire extra, reinforcements?
I think for Toronto, these kids are all going to take a big sigh of relief.
Yeah.
That media circus that's been around them for 3 weeks, or not, if not more. In the sense of who was going to get traded and all the pressure that's been on them. To me, all those kids are going to relax because they're a young team, and I think they're going to relax and get back to where they need to get to.
I mean, it's a good point, because Toronto is just mayhem, and talking about what they're going to do. Is it going to be a goalie? Are they going to trade a defenseman? Are they going to trade a forward? I mean, they obviously it's a team with holes, so they're going to talk about every part of the lineup. But then you have Ron Wilson here. I mean, they're going to ride it out. They're going to ride it out for the rest of the year. I think this is a sign. I mean, otherwise it's, Lamoriello's not coming in and dropping in a coach with the last five games left in the season.
Sure.
Axing Julian or something like that, right? So Brooks going to ride it out here. And they know what they have. And they've improved in some aspects. And penalty killing's improved significantly since the beginning of, the new year.
Well, since that New Year's Eve game against the Jets, that was that was really the time frame.
But that team's got to stop. That team's got to be able to play a better defensive hockey game. And if they don't do that, it's going to be hard to win these tough games in March and April.
Well, that's what they've been all year, though. They've been a run-and-gun team.
That's right.
They give up chances, and their goaltending was good enough to win them hockey games. Right. Now their goaltending has found some cracks in their game, and you get exposed, and now all of a sudden, we talked about it earlier, they're a team to me that is now on their heels.
Yep.
You know, where, like I said about Philadelphia, it doesn't matter. Philadelphia doesn't sit on their heels. That's they know sure. what they got back there. They keep coming. Right now, it looks like all those kids are a little bit tentative and scared there.
And, you know, in terms of Washington, the thing about them is they could very well get into the playoffs just based on strictly talent. Strictly the amount of talent they can roll out there night in, night out. And they don't have the toughest schedule because the Southeast is pretty weak. So you got the games with Tampa, I think, and games with Carolina. I mean, you don't have to. They played Montreal the other night, and you watch Montreal play against them, and the Capitals aren't that impressive. Seen them numerous times this year, but they're playing up against a team like Montreal who's, you know, the season's over.
Right.
So.
I mean, that's where it's going to be really interesting. I mean, it comes down. I mean, I think it's safe to say the final playoff spot in the East is going to come down to Winnipeg, Washington, or Toronto.
Yep.
I mean, Tampa Bay sold, Buffalo sold. I mean, those teams threw in the towel, as they should have.
Jets got a 1-in-3 chance here. I know it's not that simple in terms of math, but it's like a 1-in-3 chance.
But it seems like they have a, you know, am I wrong in saying that the Jets are in the driver's seat there? I mean, I know Washington's got game in hands, but of all the three teams, the team that's sort of been the most consistent all year might be the Jets, even though they're, you know, they haven't been terrific.
You ask coaches what you would rather have, games in hand,
yeah,
or play those games and have success. Which ones would you rather have? Most coaches would take, give me the games. I will play them faster than the opposition because the opposition now has to win under pressure.
Sure.
We saw it last year with Dallas, having two games to go in the season, had to win their last game to get in the playoffs. If not, Chicago got in at home. They lost to Minnesota.
Right.
It was out of the playoffs. There's a lot of pressure on you when it comes down. So if Winnipeg has more games and they can get to keep that, you know, win 2/3 of their games. Yeah. To me, it puts a lot of pressure on those teams that have games in hand.
Especially when a team like the Capitals that hasn't really shown any mental toughness this year to speak of. They've showed, we're very talented, but we're playing really down to our competition or even below that often.
One thing to note, though, one thing we haven't talked about yet, the Mike Green addition to the lineup is huge because he moves the puck, obviously power play, but you put those minutes that they miss and you put him in there for 20, 25 minutes a night. That puck moves out of the own zone quickly. That power plays run a lot more smoothly. And that he could be the difference in the playoffs and no playoffs.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Also worth noting, regulation wins as the first tiebreaker. Washington with a significant lead in that. They have 30 of their 31 wins are regulation time wins.
Jets have 23, right?
26 for the Jets.
26, okay.
26 for the Jets. So, I mean, that's...
You're not going to make that up over 20 games. Four. That's tough.
I mean, Washington would have to tank enough that it's not even be an issue for that last playoff spot. But, that's where we're at now. You know, we have, there's 20 games left in the season, 18 games left in the season for some teams. You know, you're looking playoffs, and every game matters in the standings. And, moving to tonight's game between the Jets and the Oilers, besides all the history between the two teams and the 1980s and the 1990s and never being able to beat the Oilers when it really counted, Jets are a better team than the Oilers are, and they have to win on home ice.
Yep, you got to watch out for the spoilers.
They got nothing to
lose, and you know what? You get fired up when you're playing against the teams you're trying to catch, or you're tied with, or that you're sitting close to you. It's a mindset that you have to really make sure that your players are prepared to play against those teams, those games you're supposed to win. Those are the ones that are the toughest ones to win, actually.
Sure. And we'll see what the Jets, how Claude has them going tonight, because there's been a couple times against teams like the Islanders or Florida, where they were really competing for that. They kind of came out and didn't have as much life as they did against games like Philly or games like even St. Louis.
Well, and I think they've improved in that front. And I point back to that Colorado game a couple of weeks ago on that Sunday. They played that Thursday, Friday. They'd won both those games, especially that big emotional victory over the Boston Bruins on that Friday night. That Colorado game could have been a game that they overlooked, but they didn't even really give Colorado the chance to breathe. Yeah, Tampa 2, exactly. Tampa 2, even going back to Thursday night, they saw a weakened opponent, they took it to them immediately, and they won the game relatively handily, which is, I think, a sign of a team maybe more mature, mature beyond their years a little bit, realizing you have a weakened opponent and going for the jugular very quickly, and a sign of good coaching by Code Noel, making sure that they're ready to play the game when it starts.
I think the key for the Jets to simplify it, I mean, you can analyze them anyways, the key for the Jets to make the playoffs is they have to be able to win on the road.
Sure. Well, and they have 9 games left at home, 10 on the road, and that's where they've been, my math's a little bit
second
off.
Second best home team in the league behind Detroit.
8 on the road, 8 at home, 9, 11, 10 on the road, I believe. But, I mean, that's where it really boils down to, and they wrap up this homestand tonight, Thursday, and then Monday, and then they go on the road to Calgary and Vancouver next week, Thursday, Friday, back-to-back.
It's tough.
Well, I mean,
especially because don't they play Vancouver first?
They play Vancouver first.
You'd probably rather just have Vancouver as a second half of the back-to-back and hope you get some points, but then you have to play Calgary when you're tired.
Yeah, that makes it
I'd rather face Calgary tired than Vancouver tired.
That's true.
Yeah, true enough. But I mean, but with Vancouver, you almost are willing to write it off immediately because, I mean, the talent disparity will be significant on display at that game.
That'll be a tough one.
Yeah.
We went over the schedule, though. They have that one. They have Pittsburgh. They have New York.
Yeah.
Some serious tough games coming up here. And those are out of division games, but you got to, you know, you're at Pittsburgh, you're at New York. Hard places to play.
Yep, certainly. Some talented games ahead of you. Should be a fun stretch run. Let's go to break. When we come back in about 15 minutes' time, Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to meet with the media. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Drew Mindell. That's Richard Pollock, joined by Scott O'Neill on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. NHL trade deadline day. The trades are all in. Everybody's accounted for. Everybody's got their rosters set for the stretch run to the playoffs. My name is Drew Mindell, joined in studio by Richard Pollock. Scott O'Neill is with us as well. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. Coming up in about 10 minutes' time, we go live to MTS Center, where Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff will address the assembled hordes of media waiting to question him about the moves the Winnipeg Jets made. To recap, the Jets have traded Johnny Oduya to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for a second and third round pick in 2013. Expected to be a deep draft, so Kevin Cheveldayoff does well in getting a second and third round pick in exchange for UFA to be Johnny Oduya. The Jets also pick up Grant Klitsam off of waivers from the Columbus Blue Jackets. We had Grant on the show about 1 hour ago, and he was quite excited to be joining the Winnipeg Jets and a playoff stretch drive. Richard Pollock, bring you back in for the next few minutes before we have to go to Kevin Cheveldayoff. You know, one team in particular jump out at you as a big winner today?
Vancouver. Yeah.
It's like you had that answer ready to go. Or
yeah, I didn't know you were going to ask me, but Vancouver. I mean, you had Sammy Paulson, you had a big body. Up the middle, strength up the middle. Good teams. The teams in this day and age that win have strength up the middle. You have Sammy Paulson. You add a depth defenseman in Steve Staios, more of a guy who blocks shots, you know, play a little role. You have Greg Anne, who can create offense. You have flexibility in that role. You add in Cassian, a little bit of a, you know, a crazy man on the right side there.
And you say that in the good sense.
Way.
Crazy with skill, though, as well.
Skill, though. He can put the puck a little bit in the net, and he can drive people crazy. He's physical. So you have all that, and you add all that. I mean, you're subtracting, obviously, Hartson, which is a good piece for the future. He's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Salzer's expendable. Then you give 2 fourths up for Paulson, and you get really nothing for Staios. You haven't given up too much, and you've got a team that, to me, really doesn't have any holes. This team doesn't have any holes. I mean, out of all the teams in the National Hockey League, you're going to go over, this is a hole, that's a hole. I think aside from Vancouver and Detroit, there are no other teams that, I mean, it depends on Boston's healthy or not, that don't have any holes, and I think those two teams don't have holes. Right now, if I had to pick, it'd be those two teams going. And I like San Jose did too, by the way. But
San Jose
if I had to pick, it'd be Detroit and Vancouver in the conference finals right now in an epic series.
San Jose getting TJ Gagliardi and Daniel Winnick from the Colorado Avalanche.
Helping their depth. I mean, would I have liked one more defenseman if I'm San Jose? Probably. But, you know, what can you do? They weren't going to go crazy, and they don't have much in the way of prospects, right, guys? So they're limited in terms of what they can acquire. I think that Vancouver is a big winner here. And I like what other teams did, too. Look at Buffalo. You get a first-round pick.
Yeah.
You get Cody Hartson.
Terribly disappointing year in Buffalo.
And you have to wonder who was making those decisions with Ehrhoff and all that before anyways.
Well,
when Darcy Vergeer is in charge, Darcy Vergeer is a smart guy. And he knows what he's doing there. And he did good work. San Jose has addressed the need. Detroit addressed the need earlier. Tampa Bay, has got some prospects, got a first-round pick. You have to like what these teams... Look at Winnipeg. They get second and third for Oduya. You got to like that. Again, there weren't many losers today. I think some of the teams that didn't make deals were losers. Some of the teams that didn't declare themselves sellers were losers. Carolina, they should have been selling more.
Yeah. Carolina, I'm surprised that they held on to Yaroslav Splatchek.
Toronto, what's Toronto, right?
Toronto didn't do anything of any significance, really. I mean, you know, they're standing
pat. We don't know what's on the table for any of these guys. We don't know what's on the table for the guys for the Jets. But I would have traded guys... Like, a Slater, if you can get a second-round pick for a guy like Slater, would have traded. Now, how much would they, in one sense, you see Smithson go for six, and then you see Gostad go for first. There's a difference, but is there a six, is a 5 or 6 round difference? I don't know. So we don't know what they were offered for those guys. But if you don't resign them, then I think you should have traded them.
General Manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Scott Housen, is addressing the media on TSN right now. He says that Rick Nash approached the team and asked to be traded, which, if I'm not mistaken, is different than had been reported earlier about the team going to Rick Nash and asking him to submit a list of teams he'd be willing to be traded to.
Yeah, PR mess.
PR mess in Columbus?
That's it. Like, it's just over now. It's a matter of coexisting for the next month and a half. Because they're not obviously going to the playoffs. They coexist for a month and a half. Now they're both getting their stories out. Wouldn't be pretty there right now.
Well, I mean, the heat would be on Mr. Housen, I would suggest.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the chip. Somebody's going to bite on it. But if I'm Scott Housen, I want to trade him at the draft because I'm worried if the cap, something happens with the cap or this or that, and then that 7.8 million.
You're talking about before the CBA expires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting to observe as, you know.
If I'm a team, I say there's five groups that have a chance at Nash. They won't give you what you want. Why wouldn't I wait it out? Why wouldn't I wait it out to see the new deal?
I don't think there's any benefit to make a panic trade at all, certainly as it relates to Rick Nash, and we'll see what happens at probably the NHL draft is where we expect the next Rick Nash activity to happen. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to head to MTS Center and Kevin Cheveldayoff speaking to the media. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We go live to MTS Center where Kevin Cheveldayoff is speaking to the assembled media.
Player like Grant, gave us a tremendous amount more flexibility, but we had other irons in the fire in different avenues and perspectives that we were looking. And I kind of talked about it all along. Like, we wanted to try to accomplish a couple things. You know, heading into the deadline here was take care of ourselves right now, and also be able to look towards the future and try and build. And very happy with the outcome here today. Certainly it's tough when you see a player that leaves your organization, your family. But I wish Johnny all the best, and just can't say enough about him as a person and his contributions to the organization.
Did you come close to adding? We've all speculated that you might want to add a forward or two. Did you come close to making any deals that would have helped you right now in that perspective?
Well, we had a lot of irons in the fire, but I think if you look at some of the deals that moved and some of the pieces that maybe were in play. We probably were not in the same ballpark in some of the deals that did happen. Might have been in the ballpark in a couple of deals that actually never came to fruition.
Kevin, the general consensus is you did pretty well getting the draft picks you did for Johnny. Would you agree with that? Were you surprised at how well that deal worked out?
Well, the Chicago Blackhawks were very aggressive, right from the onset as to that they wanted, Johnny if he was going to be made available, and, stayed very aggressive, for quite a period of time now. So, again, it's a lot of things come down to the end. This is essentially a deadline-driven league. That's why I tend not to let you guys make me put deadlines on myself type thing. So, again, it was something that in the end, I hope it's a deal that certainly works for both parties. And again, wish Johnny all the best, and just very happy to welcome Grant to our organization.
What was it like to do the deal with Stan Bowman, a guy who you've worked together with and want to stay on the couple?
Well, I think when you work with on a deal like this with someone that you've shared a lot of time with, I think you're very candid, you're very open. And, you lay things on the table. We had, a lot of very blunt conversations with each other that, ultimately, led to a deal. And like I say, I know Stan very well, and he was extremely aggressive, in this deal.
Did the price go up today?
The price, obviously, we got to the price that we wanted, and we did the deal. And it's not an easy thing to do. You're taking draft picks and everything like that. Even putting a guy on waivers, it's not easy to do. You're affecting these players' lives, and at the end of the day, you do wish the best for all parties, and you hope that both organizations and both players are better off for making these decisions.
Do you go in saying we want this and this for Johnny?
In different ways it happens, in some situations you set the price, in some situations they set the price, but in some others it evolves, and it depends on the market, and it depends on the timing, and it depends on a lot of factors. It is kind of a supply and demand type of situation at times.
Can you tell us when they first approached you about it?
It was quite a while ago. I can't really pinpoint a day, a lot of these
there'll
be weeks for sure. Yeah, a lot of these deals. Don't happen just overnight. You know, some of them, again, over the course of time, some of them do happen right at the last minute too. So, in these situations, there's lots of conversations, and not necessarily just about, the individual player that ultimately might have moved, but it's about what are your needs, what are your wants, if this opportunity presents itself, those kind of questions start up in the conversations, and obviously things change very, very quickly from the injury standpoint. Things change extremely quickly, whether you have the ability to move a player or you have the real need to acquire a player. And in this situation here, again, can't stress enough that we're talking about what we gave up, in a player and the picks that we got, but we're extremely excited about, getting, Grant into the organization. We've heard some just phenomenal things about his character, phenomenal things about, him as a person, and I think he'll fit in very, very nicely with what we're trying to build upon here in Winnipeg.
It would be a plus, I'm thinking, Kevin, that you didn't have to disrupt the dressing room any more than you did.
Well, it's certainly something that we're cognizant of, at the end of the day, again, it's not easy. It's not easy, making a phone call to Johnny Oduya and thanking him. But at the end of the day, it is a business. And these guys here, they've played very, very well, very, very hard, down the stretch here. And I'd be lying if I said there wasn't more opportunity to maybe make some deals. But at the end of the day, this was something that we felt comfortable doing, and we certainly felt very comfortable moving forward with the group of guys that we have.
How did Johnny react, and were you able to tell him before he got the news elsewhere? Because that doesn't always work.
No, quite honestly, I've left messages for Johnny because we actually haven't been able to hook up yet. But the unfortunate part about trading, is that you actually, until the trade call happens with the National Hockey League, a trade isn't official, and in theory, you're not supposed to, speak to the player. So unfortunately, players end up finding out before, but I think that's kind of gone on, for many, many opportunities now, and so I think everyone kind of understands it. But, it's a busy day. It's a busy day for all of you, I'm sure, and, again, at the end of the day, these are people, and we can't thank them enough, for their contributions.
So you left him a message over?
Yeah, well, we've traded some messages, but, I think he's got a lot of things on the go, obviously trying to plan, when he's heading out, and, again, I think it only speaks to the scratching the surface of how it disrupts players' lives, when these things happen. But again, it's a great opportunity for him. It's a great opportunity for Grant to be part of a building something for the future here.
The other day, Kevin, Blake Wheeler said that with their play on the ice, they were trying to send a message to management. Was that message factored into some of the decisions that you didn't make today?
Well, a message received in the sense that the fan in me has enjoyed watching these guys play as well, and it is an exciting time for this franchise to be in this race that we're in, and I think that we added a piece to our puzzle here that again we hope is going to help us now and in the future. And one thing that's kind of maybe not missed, but we have some great young kids coming up in St. John's on the defensive side of it as well, that we're really looking to create opportunities for them at some point in time to become factors at the National League level in our organization as well.
Did anyone try and push you off your plan, sort of try and engage you on some of the key young assets that you guys are planning to build around?
About as many guys as I did try to push them off theirs, so it's one of those jobs that you're always talking, you're always looking, you're always searching. So, at the end of the day, this is a day that, some of those conversations come to fruition. But, again, we feel very, very strong And I thank my scouts, my group of scouts that was, you know, in there with me throughout the last, you know, couple days, both, you know, the pro guys that were here and the amateur guys on the phone. Lots of conversations go in. Lots of deals never, you know, never happen. In fact, you know, someone asked me, said, you know, have you made any trades? It was a couple days ago. I said, yeah, I made lots of trades. Problem is I just haven't, you know, told the other general manager yet. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, at the end of the day, you want to improve your team. And I feel very, very good about, you know, what we accomplished today.
How frantic is it today versus other days this month or leading up to today?
Well, it is a busy day in the sense that, you know, you are working against the clock. And, you know, anytime there is a deadline, you know, you becomes focused in those regards. We worked late into the night last night, you know, fielding calls and, you know, talking, you know, actually with Chicago, you know, late last night. They played out on the West Coast and, you know, watched the game and had many conversations that lasted late into the night and, you know, started very, very early this morning.
Did you have contract talks with Adia before? Like, was there an attempt to re-sign him long-term or anything like that?
We really haven't started any contract talks with any of our, you know, players in those regards. You know, we wanted them to focus on, you know, the task at hand, at, you know, obviously the push. There's lots of opportunity to talk about contracts with, you know, with both our RFAs and our UFAs. But I think that, you know, at this point in time, they want to focus on, you know, the opportunities that are in front of us in making the playoff push. And for them, I got to think it's an exciting time in their careers right now to be playing in front of a passionate crowd like we have here with what we have in front of them. You know, again, it's a hockey player's dream right now.
So you're glad to have this finished?
I'm sorry?
You're glad? Is this a relief now to have this finished?
Well, it's another chapter. It's another thing. You know, I think we talked about all the things that we crossed off our list as we moved along throughout this year. And, you know, we're well into the planning processes for the years to come. But, you know, this was obviously our first trade deadline. And anything that's happened this year, you know, that has been a first, we've had to play catch up to get to that point. So, you know, we obviously had to, you know, learn about our players a lot quicker to make some tough decisions, you know, on them. Whereas some, you know, teams didn't know their players, you know, more intimately before. So long story short, you know, again, you know, you start the next chapter and, you know, again, that starts tonight in the quest to continue to push for the playoffs.
We saw a number of trades even leading up to today. Were you surprised at what the asking price was for players out there right now or because of how tight the standings are?
Well, I think, you know, as a general manager, you know, you had to make some decisions. You know, those general managers made some decisions at that point in time. And you know, again, how the market establishes a price, it kind of, you know, you never know. There's no, you know, kind of set formula, you know, for those regards. It does come down to supply and demand. And as you see by the number of trades and the kind of trades that happened, that, you know, that there wasn't a lot of supply out there. You know, so again, we looked long and hard at our options and being able to acquire these picks, you know, to help us build moving forward and acquiring a player that, you know, is going to what we believe help us now and hopefully for many years to come. You know, again, my goal was to set out to be a buyer, and everybody looked at me kind of funny and said, well, how can you, you know, if you trade a UFA and just get picks, how can you be a buyer? But I think that we accomplished our goals, you know, by getting Grant and by, you know, acquiring, you know, picks for the future that we can, you know, certainly begin to chart our path for many years to come.
Talk about the reasoning behind 2013 versus 2012. Just as simple as it being a deeper draft? Or?
No, you know, in reality, what happens in those things is that there's many deals that are going on, and sometimes, even though trades aren't happening, trade picks could be out in different situations and stuff like that. So every team has their own reason as to why they have to include, you know, one year or the other. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, those conversations, you know, happen. But you know, the asset value for us was the biggest thing to make sure we got the deal done.
Does this enable you now? I know you've said in the past that you wouldn't trade your picks, but would you trade potentially picks that you've collected through a process like this?
Well, you know, it gives us an opportunity to have lots of options in the 2013 draft. You know, we currently hold you know, our first, you know, 2 seconds and 2/3. So, you know, again, we are looking with one eye right now and one eye to the future, and we're going to continue to do that as long as we don't jeopardize the future. And that is something that you know, we're going to continue to focus upon.
Give us a scout's card on Grant Blitzen.
Well, Grant Clipson is, you know, is a player that, you know, kind of burst onto the scene maybe as a little bit of a late bloomer in some respects, played a little while, you know, at the American League level. But, you know, what we've talked about internally is that he's a very competitive player, you know, a player that, you know, has great character. You know, the research that we've done, you know, behind the scenes on him with respect to his him as a teammate and him as a competitor, you know, all fits the criteria that we want in a player, you know, moving forward. And again, you know, with young defensemen, you just, you know that it takes time for them to mature. And we looked at it, and obviously we had to have a little bit of an element of luck involved, you know, with respect to being able to claim him. But again, you know, he does have another year on his contract. And for us, you know, we looked at that as a real positive that we had you know, a young player locked up moving forward here that, you know, we're very, very excited about.
How much influence did Claude have on that, the fact that he had a renewal?
Claude was a supporter of it. When we went to Claude and talked to him about what he did know, you know, about Grant, he was, you know, there was no hesitation in his voice, you know, in his demeanor with respect to, you know, wanting him if we could get him. Obviously, Claude understood the parameters of waivers, so didn't, you know, we followed up with him, you know, to the extent that we needed to, and had the comfort level that, you know, he would welcome him to the organization. So, you know, again, as with all things, you know, Claude is a good sounding board because, you know, we have a great relationship. You know, there's certainly, you know, no deviation from the thought process that he, you know, he's on board with wanting to, you know, push forward, you know, with us. We've had, you know, a great, great year so far from the standpoint of the excitement. And, you know, again, it's we're all looking forward to keeping it rolling.
Singer, a lefty, would have had a book on Clinton from the American Hockey League. Did your other scouts have reports on him as well?
Well, you know, Grant was someone that, you know, really the interest in him, you know, obviously but not leading up to the trade, but the interest in him really kind of started to get generated within our organization, you know, at our mid kind of season pro meetings when, you know, and that's where you kind of readjust and reevaluate, you know, your ratings and rankings of players. And, you know, we kind of try and look at different guys that, you know, maybe, you know, could use a change or different things like that. And, you know, we identified him as someone that, you know, would be an interesting acquisition if it ever came to, you know, to that opportunity.
So he just popped in today and you guys already knew you liked him and it was a no-brainer to claim him.
Well, yeah, you know, it's, again, opportunity. You just never know when it's going to present itself. And, you know, we're excited that, you know, we were fortunate enough to get him. And, you know, again, you know, at the end of the day, it's all going to be how he plays. You know, this is a player that, you know, we're going to give an opportunity to grow and be one of the, you know, players that, you know, we're going to evaluate on, you know, where they are today, where they are tomorrow, and where they are in the future.
Any more, guys? Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment leading up to Hustler and Lawless at the top of the hour. You just heard from Winnipeg Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. Chevy speaking to the media after the Jets made two moves today. One, acquiring Grant Clipson off of the waiver wire from Columbus. The other, trading Johnny Oduya to the Chicago Blackhawks in exchange for a second and third round draft pick in 2013. As a Jets fan today, you know, they could have made more moves, but, you know, and 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I would have been disappointed if some of the other guys weren't gone. But since the Jets have gone on this hot streak, I'm okay with them holding on to, you know, Slater and Glass and, you know, Wellwood and the guys who are going to be UFAs. I'm okay with that today.
And we're really not privy to what was even offered, and it might be very little, if at all. And, yeah, you know what, Drew, they're considering, you know, they're in eighth spot right now, and Washington and Toronto are inactive. Other teams around them kind of sold. They've fairly good shot at that eighth spot right now. Probably not three, the eighth spot, and they'd be drawing the New York Rangers in the first round. A team that I think is great, but a team that sometimes has trouble scoring. You take your chances, and if you do get in, you take your chances, and you have possibly three games at home, and you're the second best home team in the league.
That's right. Richard Pollock from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Drew Mandeld. We're joined in studio by Scott Arneil. Scott, you know, any comment? You think Jets were right to sort of stand pat today? Seems like the decision.
I think you got to be careful with chemistry. I think that the one thing I've heard Claude talk about an awful lot, and I think some of the players have talked about, is this team gets along very well, and They really they seem to have bonded very well together, and they've grown over the course of 60-some games here, where they've gone through some peaks and valleys. And sometimes if you all of a sudden change too many pieces, you lose that chemistry. And so they're in a playoff spot. And so I think moving forward, you keep that chemistry and keep these guys believing in themselves that you know, they'll move forward and do the right thing.
That's right. Relief probably permeates the Winnipeg Jets dressing room for a lot of these guys. They look around. These are the guys they've gone to war with for the most part the last 60 games. You know, wrap it up strong. You got, you know, 20 game, 19 games to go where they really have a shot. You know, it's the ball's in their court. They make the most of this opportunity. They're not airlifting in any supplies, or they're not subtracting from the roster for the most part. You know, this is what it is. And, you know, if you guys are going to do it, go ahead and do it now with the guys who've been with you the entire time.
I mean, you're going in with the top six tonight if Bogosian plays, of Enstrom, Byfuglien as your top pairing. Then you throw Bogosian in if you want to throw him with Hainsey or with Stewart. And you have Klitsam on Thursday, but then you have, you know, Jones and you have Flood. You have a pretty solid decor. I'm sure they would want, and I think in the summer they'll probably want one more solid stay-at-home guy. In the interim right now, you certainly have a strength on defense.
Yeah, the defense is, I mean, you know, they subtracted one of their, you know, they subtracted Johnny Oduya, but, you know, they've got Grant Klitsam, who's not a, you know, is a reasonable replacement. They have a lot of depth there anyways, going back to Randy Jones and going back to Mark Flood, who we haven't seen a lot of. And this, keep in mind, you know, Ardos Kolda and Paul Postma both played some time for the Jets, you know, going back earlier in the year. And they, you know, obviously you wouldn't want them night in, night out, but they, you know, they handle themselves pretty well.
Yeah, I think Postman's going to be a good player.
I do, too. You do.
A lot of offensive upside there.
So it kind of reminds me of Cody Franz in a bit, and the way the offense he provides. And we had Robin Short on from St. John's. He said he's looking great.
Yeah.
So you can slide him up eventually. He's far more offensive than Kolda, and, you know, can just moves that puck way better than Kolda does. And, you know, think about it, Drew. Your number four defenseman right now is Ron Hainsey. Not bad.
No.
Yeah, and you know, we said from the beginning of the year the defense was a strength in this team, and they've gone forward, and now they've sort of got their line for the first time in a long time. First of all, they're healthy up front in their forward group, so that's important. Mm-hmm. But they really sort of have established everybody's role. You know, you got, you know, that's GST true. in your third line. You got Antropov, Stapleton, and probably Miettinen over Fair, I would hope, as your fourth line. But, you know, Antropov getting some power play time on occasion, Stapleton getting some power play time on the point. You know, Ladd, Little, Wheeler, your, you know, top line, whatever you want to call it. Kane, Burmistrov, Wellwood, your second line.
That's
all
the
interchangeable.
That's the one where I still think you'll see some change once in a while, because depending on the way the mix that they have right there, whether you throw maybe Antropov onto the right side sometime,
sure,
or Burmistrov, or you put Wellwood and you move it around. I think the changes you'll see right now, from what I can tell, is the second or fourth line will sometimes see guys in and out.
Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, that's Claude. Claude's done that all year long. Yeah. If you're playing well, you're going to get elevated. That's most coaches. If you know you're not going, somebody else is going to take your spot.
But I think that's important. I mean, yeah, and Coach Noel's been pretty honest about that from the beginning. You know, if you're going and if you're playing and if you're doing playing the game the way I want you to play, and you're buying into how we're approaching things as a team, you'll get the ice time. So, you know, the players know the story. They know what they have to do, and they know they're going to be either rewarded or quote unquote punished for their actions. And, you know, again, honesty, all cards are open on the table, and you know what you know what you have to do in order to get your opportunity.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be any secrets, which is, you know, a good thing. And Scott was attesting to there quickly. Scott, I guess maybe from the perspective of the fans coming into tonight's game, what should fans expect in terms of style of play from Edmonton?
They can get up and go. This team is offensively gifted. You know what, they're going to really push the pace with their speed. If you try to get in a track meet against them, they have a real. It makes it a lot easier for them. But you can take advantage of them defensively.
Yeah.
You've got to cut off the play between the dots for 200 feet. Make Edmonton play on the outside, cut down the middle of the ice in both ends of the rink. Make them defend, and you know what? They'll give you opportunities. The other thing, the real important point is stay out of the penalty box, because their power play is very, very dangerous.
And the Jets, if they stick to that, you know, stick to the disciplined system. Sometimes, again, you know, against Philly and against Pittsburgh, a couple of games, they get in track meets, and the Jets don't win track meets because they just don't have enough firepower.
Right.
So you keep it close, and you keep, you know, exactly what Scott said, you keep it disciplined. And also staying out of the box, and the Jets have become better at that throughout the year.
Yeah.
Beginning of the season, they couldn't stay out of the box.
But it, you look at the defense the Oilers are going to put on the ice,
Gilbert,
and you subtract Tom Gilbert now. This is not a a quality NHL defense. This is a, you know, you could see both Evander Kane and Blake Wheeler really abusing, using their speed and abusing the Oilers down the wings and cutting into the middle on, by the sounds of it, Devan Dubnyk, I expect, because Habibul is not going to be in the lineup for the Oilers tonight. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a, another good opportunity for Wheeler to really extend what has been his fantastic play over the last 6 to 8 weeks.
And I don't think, Drew, that I don't think overlooking Edmonton is a concern, really, especially when you have, especially when you're the team who's already played more games. Every game is so important because there's so few left.
Yeah.
I don't think you start overlooking a game and say, "Oh, we got Florida on Thursday." Like every game is every game's a playoff game now. They're not going to be saying, "Hey, this is a mail-in game."
No, that's right. And the Jets, you know, they take care of business today against, and then they have 2 days off, which at this time of year, I imagine, and you can speak to this, Scott, how valuable are those sort of 2 days off between your next game? It doesn't happen very often at this point in the season.
No, it doesn't. And this is where you're giving more time off.
If right.
You're practicing, it's only 45 minutes, and you're not doing a whole lot, probably specialty teams, pretty much it, and, you know, a little flow to it. But this is where you got to make sure that people are at their best. They're well-rested and they're healthy. So, but to get a couple days in this time of year are really, really important.
And you know what, Drew? We saw it against Tampa Bay. We saw it, you know, throw this whole homestand. Even when you think the Jets might lag, you walk into the arena, it's 7:30, you walk out and the fans are just...
Electric.
Electric. And yeah. We feed off that up in the press box. Imagine what the players are like.
Well, it doesn't allow them to sleepwalk through the beginning of any game. It doesn't, you know, when the crowd is that geeked up, night in, night out, it's okay, you know, you hear the fans, you hear
that's right.
you hear everything, and it just sort of snaps you right into, okay, game on, puck drop, let's go. You know, there's no, let's wait 20 minutes, see, you know, if we get our legs underneath us because the fans are late arriving and everything else. It's giddy up and go time, and that's been a huge advantage for the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, without a doubt, you know, I know we didn't get to come in here and play in a regular season. We were in here for an exhibition, but it just was the buzz around the league.
Yeah.
You know, teams that came into Columbus, we talked to other coaches, and, you know, I knew they'd been in Winnipeg. I'd ask how that went and all that. Everybody was just ecstatic. They were just like, cannot believe the atmosphere. It's amazing that you can't hear yourself think on the bench as a coach, and you're trying to get your yelling at people, and it's so loud at times. And, heck, use that to your advantage. That's just a bonus. That's a, you know, a great... You know, great tip of the hat to the fans of Winnipeg.
18 games to go with the Winnipeg Jets regular season. It's time for the playoff stretch drive. Scott Arneil, thanks very much for this. This has been terrific, great insight. Anytime you want to come by, we won't invite Ezra, no problem. You're welcome to join us anytime.
Thanks, it's been great here.
Thanks, Scott. That's Scott Arneil. That's Richard Pollock from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm Drew Mindell. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. Birchwood Chevrolet Buick, GMC Game Day, Jets Oilers at 7:30. Rick Ralph and the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 6:30. Stay tuned to TSN 1290. Hustler and Lawless are next.
You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Join us again for serious hockey talk. Saturdays from noon to 3. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Only on TSN 1290. Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets.